Who's thankful?
Amen.
Amen? Okay, good. You guys are ready for this. How many of you engaged in the great American tradition and ate too much and slept too much on Thursday? I am often asked, what is my favorite holiday? It's not Christmas. I get accused of being a bit of a Grinch for Christmas. It's actually Thanksgiving, as far as it goes, simply because it's a very low-stress holiday. Eat food, sleep, repeat. It's easy. Eat, sleep, repeat. But I want to take a little bit of time this morning, and I want to talk about what does it mean for us to be a thankful group of people, and why is that important? Because we talk about giving thanks, and we should. God has blessed all of us. Amen? We're here. We have life, health, warmth. We have fellowship. We have so many wonderful things. But here's what I want us to grab hold of this morning. Most of the time, when we talk about giving thanks, we usually mean it as a reaction. And that's great. It's not a bad thing at all. But when something good happens, we react by giving thanks. Amen? It's reactionary thanksgiving. When somebody opens the door, that's a nice thing. I say thank you. If somebody slams the door on me, I take that thank you back. Amen? And depending on where they slammed me, it might be a different conversation. And that's great. God has blessed us so richly in so many areas of our life. Even when life is not going well, we can still find so many blessings that God pours out upon us. And the appropriate reaction to that is to say thank you, to express gratitude to God when something amazing happens. But I want you to hear me on this, because we are called to give thanks even when there isn't something to react to. It makes sense. When something good happens, we say thank you. Even the non-Christians do that. Thank you. You know, I just won $1 million. Thank you. And by the way, if anyone does win $1 million here, we love you and tithe. That's all I'm saying. But that's a normal thing. When something good happens, we respond with gratitude. But there's this other piece that's sometimes a little harder for us to grasp. So I want to put this gentleman's picture up. And this is Stephen Colbert. If you're not, I don't stay, I'm too old to stay up to watch his show. He does, was it the Late Show or the Late Late Show with Stephen Colbert? He took over for Letterman, I think. Funny guy. He and Steve Carell got started on the same show, The Daily Show, with Jon Stewart, a fake comedy news show, which was usually pretty funny and sadly accurate. But he's a comedian, right? It's interesting, as I've gotten to dig into his story a little bit, he surprises me in a number of things. He actually battles with really debilitating anxiety. And he would talk about in interviews at times when his anxiety was so bad, he'd be waiting to go on his show and do his bit on The Daily Show, and he literally would be curled up in a ball shaking because he had so much anxiety. But he was also saying that he had a pretty heavy tragedy happen in his life. When he was 10 years old, his father and his siblings were killed in an accident. And he was left just with his mom and him. That's all that survived in his family. I can't begin to imagine that. Losing, you know, my siblings, losing my parents, losing my family. And I just wanted to start today just by reading to you something that he said in an interview about that tragedy. So this is what he said. I was raised in a Catholic tradition. That's my context for existence, and that means that I am here to know God, love God, serve God, that we might be happy with each other in this world and with Him in the next. That makes a lot of sense to me. I got that from my mom and my dad and my siblings. I was left alone a lot after Dad and the boys died. It was just me and Mom for a long time, he said. And by her example, I am not bitter. She was broken, yes. No. Colbert said that even in his mother's days of unremitting grief, she drew on her faith, and that the only way that she not be swallowed up by sorrow, and to recognize that our sorrow is inseparable from our joy. That statement really caught me off guard. Our sorrow is inseparable from our joy. And he goes on to say, it is always to understand suffering. We need to see ourselves in the light of eternity. Colbert described a letter from J.R. Tolkien, who wrote, "What punishments of God are not gifts?" Colbert's eyes filled with tears as he said, "So it would be ungrateful not to take everything with gratitude. Bearing in mind, he's talking about the tragic and untimely death of his dad and his siblings, and he's saying that it would be ungrateful not to take everything with gratitude. It doesn't mean you want it, but I can hold both of these ideas in my head. He said he was 35 years old before he could fully wrap his mind around that. And I got to be honest with you, I can't wrap my mind around something like that, because giving thanks as a reaction makes sense to me. Something good happens, I express gratitude. But what he is saying is that when something horrific and tragic took place, that we should still be people of gratitude. And not just thankful for all the other stuff, but he's even saying be thankful for the tragic event. That's got to mess with us just a little bit, because there's some pretty horrific things that I would rather have not have happened. Amen? And he's saying, nope, even those things, when they occur, we still find a way to give thanks for it. And that seems really weird. And it'd be easy to dismiss him and go, well, we're Baptist and he's Catholic and he's a comedian and most of us aren't. And it'd be easy to dismiss what he's saying until we get to this verse. Check this out. This is a familiar verse that we put on a lot of coffee cups. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And again, as Christians, we love to put that kind of stuff on, you know, on pillows and knickknacks and coffee cups and go, rejoice in the Lord always, yay. But think about what that means. Always. Even when the horrific things are happening, we give thanks. Because this is not a reaction. This is a command that is given to us to rejoice in the Lord always. And the reason I put that up there with a picture of a guy in handcuffs is when the Apostle Paul wrote those words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was chained to a Roman guard. He was under house arrest, a house arrest that would ultimately lead to his martyrdom for the faith. And here he is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. How am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to say when something bad happens, I'm supposed to rejoice and give thanks for that? That seems like a contradictory thing. Well, I want us to spend a little bit of time this morning, and we're going to be in the book of Psalms. And I would invite you to turn there. We're in Psalm 130. If you're new, if you're unfamiliar with the book of Psalms, I enjoy because Psalm is literally their songbook. Psalm means song. So for the Hebrew people, they had about 150 songs that they would sing and worship. And I love it. Go through Psalms sometimes. You will see tremendous songs of praise. You know, rejoice in the Lord. Yay! And you will also see some heart-wrenching stuff in there. You know, if you doubt me, keep turning to Psalm 138. Let me read to you just another quick psalm that, again, was a song of worship that the people would sing. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. That was one of their songs of worship. And I just love the rawness of that, that when the people of Israel would come in to worship God, they didn't just put on happy, clappy faces all the time. The book of Psalms is great because we see them worshiping God in the happy times, and we see them worshiping God in the worst of times. When I'm surrounded by mud and mire and I'm getting pulled down, in that moment I will wait for the Lord and I will sing his praise. The book of Psalms messes with you if you really read it, because we worship all the time. That's what we're called to do. But I want to dig into this one, Psalm 138. Let me read through it with you here. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. Now, in the NIV, the New International Version that I'm reading from, it says praise. Now, I think there's actually a better translation, because the Hebrew word there is yada, 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 yada. That's an actual Hebrew word, and it means to give praise, to ascribe worth to, and to say thank you. All of that's wrapped up in the word yada. So yes, to praise is important, but it also would be an accurate translation to say, I will thank you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before other gods, I will sing and give thanks. I will bow down toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name. For you, for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. And when I called, you answered me, and you made me bold and stout-hearted. I love that phrase, stout-hearted. That just sounds tough. I'm stout-hearted. Let's keep reading, though. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. And though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk through the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And so again, we see this really powerful song of praise and thanksgiving, where we are thanking the Lord for all that he is. And so I want us to pull out a couple of truths out of this just for a moment. And here's truth number one. And we see this in the first three verses. We see that giving thanks to a reliable God gives us strength. We see that in the first couple verses. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will bow down towards your holy temple. And then it ends in verse 3, when I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. You gave me strength, would be another way of saying it. And so in these moments, even when there's not a lot for us to react to with gratitude, when we stop and when we choose to give thanks to God, in the middle of anything, when we choose to give thanks to him, it gives us strength. And now what I love in the fields that I work in, I love to do research on this kind of stuff, and they actually discovered something. And I love it when they discover something that the Bible has known for years. Amen? There's actually a psychologist out of good old Harvard Medical Center by the name, I gotta get this right, Sean Anker. Yes! He did research, and here was his experiment. He took a group of people, and he said, what I want you to do for 30 days, for 1 month, is every day for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes a day, I want you to sit down, and I want you to think of as many things that you can be thankful for that day, regardless of what else is happening. I want you to think of thankful things for 5 minutes. That's it. Just 5 minutes. Sit there and give thanks for as many things as you can think of. What do you think happened? They came back after a month of doing, you know, like with all good, you know, psychological studies, they brought in their little journal, like, here, on this day I did this, and they actually brought back the proof that says, yes, they legitimately sat there for 5 minutes a day and gave thanks for things. Just randomly, you know, I thank you that my car started today, I thank you that I got to work, you know, anything for 5 minutes. They had lower blood pressure, they had lower cholesterol, they were sleeping better, they had less stress, fewer symptoms of anxiety. All because they just sat down and said, for 5 minutes, I'm just going to... And this wasn't even a Christian study. They didn't even have to thank God for anything. They just had to give thanks that all this good stuff happened to them. By choice, they chose to give praise and thanksgiving 5 minutes a day. Huge health benefits. And of course, all the psychologists are like, that's mystifying. When we run that through the filter of Scripture, we realize, no, it isn't, because God said so. When I praise his name, when I give thanks to him, he will make me strong. He will give me strength. And the reason for the strength is we know that our God is a reliable and trustworthy God. And even if the earth gives, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, we know that God's got us. He's going to be there for us. And when we call out to him, he will answer us. Now, I would love to tell you in verse 3, I would love to say that when I call out to him, he gives me the answer I want. Amen? That would be great. I would love to be able to tell you that. Unfortunately, that would not be true. God does not always give us the answers that we would like. I wish that that were true. I wish that I could tell you that every time I prayed for someone's loved one, that loved one got better. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes the answer from God is, no, I'm sorry. I love you, but no. Sometimes the answer is yes. But either way, God always answers. That's liberating for somebody today. That is liberating for somebody in this room to know that when I'm crying out, when I'm speaking to my ceiling, hoping that God gets the message. He does, and he answers. It's not always the answer that we like, but he always answers. And because our God is reliable, we can give him thanks. We can say in the darkest of moments, I know that my God is faithful, and I give you thanks for this struggle. And that to me is the weirdest thing, because for me, when something bad is happening, I love to give thanks for the other stuff. You know what I mean? Like life is falling apart over here, so I'll give thanks for everything that's not falling apart. Amen. Do that. But one of the weird things for us as Christians is we give thanks for the bad stuff too. Really? Yeah, rejoice in the Lord always. In all of those situations. Because here's what it does. When I give thanks to God for my struggles, hear me. When I give thanks to God for my struggles, I'm resting in the fact that my God is reliable, trustworthy, and will answer my prayers. And that gives me strength. And I appreciate guys like Stephen Colbert, and obviously we're Baptist, he's Catholic, we'll have some theological things we disagree on. But for him, that article, that interview I read was in GQ magazine. And for him to be a very public person, very successful public person, saying that his faith in God is what allows him to do that, I think that's remarkable. We can argue theology later. But right now, I think that's pretty amazing. So giving thanks to a reliable God gives us strength. Now, the psalm keeps going, and it keeps talking about the kings of the earth praise you. And I sat there for a little bit, and as I was preparing for this message, I really kind of wrestled through this. What does that mean that the kings of the earth, you know, are praising? You know, what does that mean? And here's what we came away with. It's very easy for you and I to feel very small. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. It is very easy for us to feel like the life we live does not make a big difference from a global or an eternal perspective. I mean, if you turn on the news, what do you see? Everything's horrible. There's this disaster. I think there was another shooting, wasn't there, on Thanksgiving, correct? And that's how bad it is when I can't remember, is that the most recent one or was the one before it? There's these horrible things that happen. We watch our leaders on both sides of every political aisle argue with fury and venom, and we look at the global situation, we look at race relations, we look at poverty, we look at all these situations, and I sit in my basement as I pray before the Lord, and it's so easy to feel small with all of this stuff going around with the kings of the nations around us. It's very easy to feel small. And that's okay. Because giving thanks to a powerful God gives us humility. Here's the reality. I am small. I mean, I'm 6'3", 250 pounds, but in the grand scheme of this world, I'm pretty insignificant. In the grand scheme of this universe, I'm really insignificant. Check this out. I found where we are. Go ahead. Yeah, that's us. That one. If that doesn't make you feel kind of small, that's the artist rendering of the Milky Way galaxy. We're tiny. It's really easy for us to feel small. And it's really easy when the stuff around us is going horribly sideways for us to feel like, does anything I do matter? I'm praying like crazy for these things and nothing's happening. The world's still falling apart. My life still has all these issues. And I just feel really, really small. But look at what the word says, okay? May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is great. And though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly. So yeah, guess what? I'm small. In the grand scheme of this amazing cosmos that God has made, I'm small. That's why I need to be reminded that when I give thanks to a powerful God, he gives me humility. Because that picture of the galaxy is as amazing as it is, and I can't even begin to see the wonder of it all. All of that was made by a God who said, "Let it be." The magnificence of this world and the galaxy that we live in all happened when God said, let there be light, let there be stars. And there they were. And my friends, that is the God who comes to us and says, you who are small, you who are broken, you who are weak, God is not far away from you. He's not up there somewhere. The powerful God who created the universe with the breath of his mouth stands right next to you, saying, I'm here. God is with us. That's what we celebrate with Christmas, is Emmanuel, God with us. That's important. Because it means, yeah, I'm small, but I've got a big and powerful God who has my back. And for that, my friends, we give thanks. When I'm reminded of my smallness, when I'm reminded of my insignificance, and I promise you, when I pick up the phone to call the president, I don't get through. I get voicemail. Amen? How about you guys? You ever try it? Call the White House sometime. We're not getting into the Oval Office on the first ring. Why? Because we're pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But my God's already there. My God's already present. And my God is powerful. And so for that, I can give thanks. And God will give me the humility to say, you know what? I'm not all that much on my own. But the God I love has chosen me. Praise God for that. Giving thanks to a powerful God gives us humility. Because pride says, I'm something special. Humility is not the opposite. Humility doesn't say something special. Humility just says, I'm what God has made me to be. Giving thanks to a powerful God reminds me of that. And then this last piece that I really need us to zoom in on here for just a little bit. Though I walk in the middle of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out my hand against the anger of my foes, and with your right hand you save me. Because my friends, it's very, very easy when everything goes well for us to react with gratitude, amen? That's awesome. I just got something new. Thank you. It's a lot harder, as we know, when everything falls apart. So yeah, when we give thanks to a God that is present with us, it reminds us that he gave us shelter in the storm. Because that's the coolest thing about all of this is that, again, we don't have a God who's far off. We don't have a God who is removed from us or weak. We have a God who is powerful, who is present, and who is reliable with us, and he gives us the shelter in the storm. And I love that about him. It says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever, and you do not abandon the works of your hand. And I love that, because check it out. You're the works of his hand, and so am I. When the Psalms teach us that he's knit us together in our mother's womb, that means that you, my friends, are the work of the Lord's hand. And even in the darkest night, in the craziest storm, when everything falls apart, God says, I will be with you through that storm. Praise God for that. He will be with us through the storm. And I know I've used this example once or twice before. I keep coming back to it because to me, it's just a powerful example of the best and the worst all rolled into one. I don't know if you guys remember this person, but I'll put her picture up nonetheless. Go ahead. There she is. She has passed away. She, I believe, passed away in the 80s, I believe. How many of you have heard her name before? Yeah, powerful story. If you're unfamiliar with it, Corrie Ten Boom, she grew up in Holland in the Netherlands in the 1930s and 40s. And she and her family, they were Christians, and they had a strong love for God and for his people. And then lo and behold, the Nazis invaded. And suddenly the Jews started to be taken. So if you're a Christian in that situation, what do? Because you know the horrors and the atrocities that might await your Jewish neighbor if they get taken. But at the same time, if you hide somebody, you might get taken too. And so she actually, her story is in a book called The Hiding Place, because they felt, she and her sister and father felt that it was their Christian duty to hide as many human beings as possible. They owned a watch shop, and so their code word for Jewish people were watches. Yep, we have watches in the closet. What does that mean? We're hiding folks. That's what that means. And they got caught. They got caught. And as the Nazi stormtroopers were taking her aged father away, the stormtrooper, the Nazi soldier, literally said, "Old man, I don't want to send you to your death. If you promise never to do this again, I will let you go." I don't know about you, but my human thought would be going, "Yep, I promise." Yeah, that's what I would be thinking, because I'm not a redeemed enough person, I guess. But her father said, "If you let me go, I will open my doors to anyone who has a need." They shut the door, and he died in a concentration camp. Corey and her sister Betsy were sent to Ravensbrück, which was a women's concentration camp. And there they suffered and suffered and suffered. And at one point in time, Corey woke up, and her sister was kneeling next to her bed, and she was praying, and she was giving thanks for fleas and lice. She was saying, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me fleas. Thank you, Lord, that I have lice." And Corey's like, "What are you doing? Why are you thanking God that we're infested?" She said, "Because we have fleas, the male guards don't come in here." Corey got on her knees and thanked God for fleas. And so, my friends, in that moment, in the story, I mean, that's a cool enough and powerful enough moment, but even in that moment, as she was living through all that, and yes, her sister tragically perished in the concentration camp, and so I just ask, what would you be doing if your entire family had perished in a horrible situation under the Nazis? I would want some revenge, if I'm being really honest. But after World War II, she began a ministry of forgiveness and reconciliation, to the point where she was actually speaking at a church many years later in Germany, and she said for the first time there he was, one of the guards who was from her concentration camp, who had found Jesus, gotten saved, and was attending church. And the man came forward after the service and asked for her forgiveness. She couldn't do it. She's like, "You know, you're partially responsible for the death of my sister. What would you do?" Slap. That'd be my first reaction. And she literally cried out to God and said, "Lord, I cannot forgive him. Please give me your forgiveness." And she stuck out her hand and shook the man's. She said it was like lightning coursing through her body. And later that night, she fell on her knees and gave thanks to God for the grace that she had experienced. So my friends, let us be the people who give thanks. Let us give thanks when everything good happens. Amen. Let us give thanks when bad stuff happens too. Because even in those moments, our reliant, present, and powerful God is there, and he's got our backs. So let us give thanks. Amen. Father, as we hear your words and as we recognize that you are a great and good and powerful God, Father, we simply pray and ask that you would create in us the spirit of gratitude. Gratitude that not only says thank you for the good things that occur and for the strength we can draw from that, but the gratitude that reminds us to depend upon you, that you are present with us even in our times of struggle. Father, I lift up to you my brothers and sisters in Christ, my beloved church family. And Father, as many of us have gone through periods of darkness and pain and struggle, Lord, we just ask and pray that you would instill in us a spirit of gratitude as well. May we be thankful to you for being present and powerful in those moments. And Father, may the world around us look, because when we hear stories like Corrie Ten Boom's, Father, it's so easy for us to be moved by that. And Lord, just to recognize that she was just a normal girl put in a horrific situation, but a normal girl who clung to her faith in Jesus Christ. So Father, may we be people of gratitude. May we be people that the world takes notice of, because we can give thanks even in the darkest moments. So Father, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Now, my friends, I know part of our tradition of late has been. If you would like to come forward for prayer during the times of worship, you're welcome to do that. You don't have to, but there's something that can be very powerful for us when we just come up and just lay our burdens before the Lord. I want to challenge you. Coming up here to pray doesn't make us more spiritual or more broken or anything else. It just means we have a God that we love very, very much. So if you would like to do that, I would encourage you, pray and give thanks. Give thanks for the good stuff that's happened. You can do that from your seats, of course, as well. And give thanks even in the bad things that are happening. If you come up and pray, myself or some of the other folks that we have will come up and just pray alongside you, just because we don't want anyone to pray alone if we can help it. But in the meantime, I invite you, you're welcome to stand, you're welcome to sit, you're welcome to kneel, you're welcome to come forward. The altar is open. But let's come before the Lord in worship, and let's just celebrate all that we have to be thankful for. Because our God is good, amen?
Amen.
Our God is so much greater than the things we face. And he promises that we don't even have to face them alone. He's there with us. So let's stand if you're able, and let's sing.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest.
Thank you for your love this morning. Lord Jesus, we are a thankful people. Remind us this week to be thankful. In the good times and in the bad, remind us of your great love for us. Remind us to be thankful and to bless your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name on the road that is plentiful, where your stream of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Friends, as you go from this place, if there's anything I can pray with you about or for you about, if you have any questions, if you have anything you want to give thanks for, I'll be up front, love to chat with you and pray with you if I can. But in the meantime, go with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful unto you, and in all things give you peace. Amen. Go in God's